Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, 19 April 2026, Romans.
Before we get started, I have one request. I'd like some prayers for my soulmate. Right after church this morning, Deb's going to the hospital, and tomorrow we'll have surgery. She has an occluded carotid artery. It's pretty severely occluded, and that surgery will be tomorrow. You're the greatest prayer warriors ever, and I appreciate your prayers for her. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we realize, Heavenly Father, that all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. And we thank you for the privilege we have this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we completed that great study in Romans chapter 8 and the five steps to glory and all that was involved with that. And now, at this point in Romans, the Apostle Paul introduces a major parenthesis. And this major parenthesis actually is three chapters long, chapters 9, 10, and 11. And of course, the Apostle Paul was a very famous Jewish unbeliever. He was born Saul of Tarsus. And it was the Apostle Paul's desire, after he placed his faith in Jesus Christ, he said of himself, "I'm the worst sinner that ever lived." And he went around as a religious Pharisee of the Pharisees, rounding up Christians and taking them in to be executed. And then the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul of Tarsus placed his faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. He believed in Christ, and he took a new name, a name of grace, Paulos, Paul. And from that time on, the Apostle Paul had this great desire to proclaim the grace gospel to the Jewish people. In fact, Paul always had a burden for the Jews, but unfortunately, they were not to be the objects of his ministry. Just the opposite occurred. The Jews followed him all around the world trying to destroy his ministry. But the power of God overruled. Paul's was a ministry of grace and truth. Regardless of his failures or sins, God protected Paul from the Judaizers. Paul understood very clearly that while he was burdened for the Jews, his ministry would be to the Gentiles. But this parenthesis, chapters 9, 10, and 11, tells us that the Apostle Paul totally understood and believed that God has a unique plan for Israel, a unique plan for true Jews. And that's what you must distinguish. There are racial Jews who are not true Jews, and there are true Jews. The true Jews are those who have believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. The new race of the Jewish people was founded on regeneration. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham's a believer in Jesus Christ. Isaac's a believer in Jesus Christ. Jacob's a believer in Jesus Christ. And our Lord is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the true Jew, the real Jew, the one who has placed his faith in Jesus Christ. You're not a true Jew just because you're a racial Jew. And there are a lot of racial Jews who are not true Jews. And Paul made that very clear. So in Romans chapter 9, Israel, in part, is selected. In Romans chapter 10, at the present time, Israel is rejected. In Romans chapter 11, Israel in the future is accepted. The Apostle Paul totally understood the uniqueness of Israel and the uniqueness of the Jew. So, by way of introduction to this parenthesis, we started out with the study of the doctrine of Israel's uniqueness. We've never studied this before, the doctrine of Israel's uniqueness. We just got started last week. Point one, we studied the first seven subpoints of the first point and the doctrine of Israel's uniqueness. Point one, the racial uniqueness of the Jew is point one. The racial uniqueness of the Jew. The Jews are a totally unique race. And we noted in the first seven subpoints, all four post-diluvian races began with born-again persons. Shem, Ham, Japheth, they were all believers. Shem was a believer, Ham was a believer, Japheth was a believer, and Abraham was a believer. Shem, Ham, and Japheth are the sources of all Gentiles. And Abraham is the source of both Gentiles and Jews. Abraham is descended from Shem, but became the first Jew at the moment of his circumcision at the age of 99. He was a spiritually mature believer, 99 years old, and at that moment of his circumcision, he became the very first Jew. Jews, Arabs, other groups in the Middle East are Semitic peoples. All Semitic peoples are Gentiles except the Jews. The line of the Jews goes through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham a believer, Isaac a believer, Jacob a believer, and our God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Jews are a totally unique race. They were unique in their origin and are still unique today. The Jewish race was founded on regeneration. That's what is totally unique. The Jewish race was founded on regeneration. And we ended with a couple of passages last Sunday morning. We're going to start with those this morning. First of all, turn over to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, the first five verses. Romans 4, verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, and he wasn't, but Paul's just setting this out. If Abraham was justified by works, you see, the Jewish people, a lot of the religious Jews, they think they're saved because of all their works. They keep the works of the Mosaic Law. No one is going to be in heaven because you keep the works of the Mosaic Law or any other works. Salvation is not by, justification is not by works, it's by faith. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. For if Abraham was justified by works, well, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? And Abraham believed God, believed in Jesus Christ, believed in the Messiah, and it was credited to him for righteousness. Justification by faith in Jesus Christ. Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as grace, but as what is due, as debt. But to the one who does not work, salvation is not by your works. To the one who does not work, but simply believes in him, who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Justification is by faith. Its justification is not by works. And there are a lot of religious people and a lot of false gospels out there, people thinking that they're going to be in heaven because of all of their works. And no one will be in heaven. Justification is not by your works. It's by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And then we looked over at Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, which is where we are going to be studying here. Romans chapter 9, Paul gets right into it at verse 6, Romans 9, verse 6. But it is not as though the word of God has failed. Now, and this is the key, making it very clear. For they are not all Israel. This is true Israel, true Jews. They are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. That's a racial Jew. You could be a racial Jew, but you have not placed your faith in Jesus Christ. You're not a true Jew. You're a racial Jew. You're a false Jew, but you're not a true Jew. And that's why Paul says here, they are not all Israel, true Jews, who are descended from Israel, racial Jews. Neither are they children because they are Abraham's seed, descendants, but through Isaac, your descendants, will be elected to privilege. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. For this is a word of promise. At this time, I will come and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but there was Rebekah also, when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. For though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose according to his choice might stand, not because of works, but because of him who calls, it was said to her, the older will serve the younger. So here are twins. Here are twins. Just as it is written, Jacob I have loved. Jacob I loved. Jacob believed in Jesus Christ. Jacob is a believer. Here are twins. Jacob's a believer. Esau I hated. Esau did not believe in Jesus Christ. He's an unbeliever. And so Esau is the father of the Edomites. Jacob is a true Jew. He believed in Jesus Christ. And that's the basis of the Israel. True Israel is based on regeneration. So God developed a new race through regeneration. Being born again through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. That was Abraham, that was Isaac, that was Jacob, and that is the Apostle Paul. So that brings us to subpoint 8. There would be 5 Jewish client nations before God turned to Gentile client nations. We're living in the church age. The age of Israel was interrupted. This is the calling out, the intercalation, the calling out of the royal family of God, the body of Christ. The church age began at Pentecost, concludes at the rapture. And at this time, God is calling out a new family, a royal family of God. And there's only Gentile client nations in the church age. And there will not be another Jewish client nation until Jesus Christ returns at the second advent, establishes his kingdom on earth, and then true Israel, believers, will go in and they will become the client nation to God in the millennial kingdom. And the whole world will be blessed by Israel in the millennium as they are restored as a client nation to God. So point 8, there would be 5 Jewish client nations before God turned to Gentile client nations. 9, there will never be another new race in history. There will never be another new race in history. Subpoint 10, a principle. We're living in the church age, a unique dispensation, the calling out of the royal family of God, the formation of the body of Christ. And there, in this dispensation, there is no racial distinction in the church age. No racial distinction in the church age. In the church age, the Jew has no racial superiority, but must become part of the body of Christ, must become a member of the body of Christ, the new spiritual species, royal family of God. And how does he do that? By simply believing in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Turn over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. Great passage. Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 26. For you are all sons of God. How? By your works? By keeping the works of the Mosaic law? By your any kind of works you establish? No. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27. For all of you were baptized into Christ. The only baptism that matters is that when you believe in Jesus Christ, at that moment of salvation, God the Holy Spirit baptizes you and enters you into union with Christ. Every person who simply believes in Christ has been baptized. Spirit baptism. You're in union with Jesus Christ. You're a new spiritual species. You're now a member of the body of Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Verse 28. Now listen. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one. You're all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3, 26 to 28. All right. Subpoint 11. The Jewish race is the only nation. The Jewish race is the only nation that ever endured 400 years of slavery. 400 years of slavery. And when God delivered them, they were not bitter. But they came out of it after that as normal people. And they went from slavery to freedom in one day. Now, point two, Israel is a totally unique nation. Israel is a totally unique nation. Subpoint one, their government was unique. It was a theocracy. Their government was totally unique. It was a theocracy. They were the first priest nation or client nation in history. They were the first priest nation or client nation in history. Two, as a client nation to God, they have freedom and privacy and property and authority, which allows them to have evangelism, advance to spiritual maturity, and missionary function, which allows them evangelism, advance to maturity, and missionary function. Today, Gentile client nations provide a haven for the Jews. And we are right now a client nation to God. There are only Gentile client nations in the church age. There will not be another Jewish client nation until Christ comes back at the second advent. But right now, we are living in the church age, and there are only Gentile client nations. Client nation, United States of America, we have been a haven for the Jews. The sad thing is we're getting more and more anti-Semitism in America. And we are a client nation to God. But you can see our apostasy and degeneracy. The client nation to God provides protection of the Jewish people. We should be providing protection for them and protecting them against anti-Semitism. And God made it very clear in the Abrahamic covenant, Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. We should be a haven for the Jewish people, protecting them from anti-Semitism of any form. Subpoint 3. Every Jew was considered a priest under the concept of the client nation. Every Jew was considered a priest under the concept of the client nation. Turn over to Exodus. Exodus chapter 19. So every Jew was considered a priest under the concept of the client nation. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, we'll start at verse 5. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Turn over to Hosea. Hosea chapter 4. And this in the Hosea 4, the first few verses, the nation, the client nation, Israel, has turned away from God and His Word. Verse 1 says, hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no emet. There is no truth. There is no truth of the word of God in your soul. There is no truth, no emet. There is no kesed, no grace. There is no truth, no grace, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There is only cursing and lying and murder, stealing and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Because of this, the land mourns. And all who live in it waste away. The beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea are dying. But let no man bring a charge. Let no man accuse another, judging, slandering, maligning. For your people are like those who bring charges against a priest. They have total rejection of spiritual authority. Total rejection of those faithful communicators of the Word of God. You stumble day and night, and the false prophets stumble with you. So I will destroy your nation. My people are destroyed because of a lack of truth, Bible doctrine. Because you have rejected Bible doctrine, the Word of God, I also reject you as my priests. because you have ignored the law of your God, I will also ignore your children. Hosea 4, verse 6. So every Jew was considered a priest under the concept of the client nation. Subpoint 4. Israel has had four nations which have been client nations to God. Israel has had four nations in the past. There's no Jewish client nation in the church age. There will not be one in the tribulation. But the last Jewish client nation was Judea, and in 70 AD, Titus and the Roman legions administered the fifth cycle of national discipline. They were destroyed, and there's never been another Jewish client nation since 70 AD. But they will be again. God has a fantastic plan for them in the future. And Paul knew that. Paul totally knows the fantastic plan God has for Israel and the true Jews, regenerate Jews, those who have placed their faith in Christ. When Christ comes back, they will be the client nation to God in the millennial kingdom, and the whole world will be blessed by association with them. So Israel has had four nations which have been client nations to God in the past. First of all, United Israel. United Israel, from the Exodus to the death of Solomon. United Israel, from the Exodus to the death of Solomon. Secondly, the Northern Kingdom, or Samaria. The Northern Kingdom, or Samaria, from the death of Solomon until it fell in 721 B.C. to the Assyrians. Not Syrians, but Assyrians. Assyrians. So the Northern Kingdom, or Samaria, from the death of Solomon until it fell in 721 B.C. to the Assyrians. Third, the Southern Kingdom, or Judah, from the death of Solomon until it fell in 586 B.C. to the Chaldeans. The Southern Kingdom, or Judah, from the death of Solomon until it fell in 586 B.C. to the Chaldeans. And then fourth, the Kingdom of Judea, from 516 B.C. to 70 A.D. 516 B.C. to 70 A.D. when it fell to Rome. Titus and the Roman legions totally destroyed them, and the Jewish people were slaughtered. That was the last Jewish client nation. Subpoint 5. After 70 AD, we call Gentile nations who performed the functions which Israel once performed client nations to God. So after 70 A.D., we call Gentile nations who perform the functions which Israel once performed client nations to God. Subpoint 6, Israel will be restored as a client nation to God in the millennial kingdom following the second advent. Jesus Christ will rescue. There will be believers. He will rescue and take. They will go into the millennial kingdom, and they will be the client nation to God, and the whole world will be blessed. So Israel will be restored as the client nation to God in the millennial kingdom following the second advent of Jesus Christ. 7. In order for a client nation to survive today, and right now, the United States of America is currently a client nation to God. But in order for a client nation to survive today, there must be a large pivot of spiritually mature believers. There must be a large pivot of spiritually mature believers. We are a client nation of God. We are a nation in apostasy and degeneracy. You see it. You see it every day. You see it in the news and what's going on in America. But we're still here and we're still a client nation to God. There is a hope. There's only one hope for the United States of America. That one hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the hope for America. The Lord Jesus Christ. And a spiritual revival in America. And so I know you pray for America. Pray that there's a spiritual revival. Pray that the grace gospel is given all over America, that many sons might be brought into glory. And then secondly, pray for all those Christians who are out of fellowship with God, who are living by the lust patterns of their sin nature, who are living in Satan's cosmic system. Pray for them that God will work in their hearts, that they will come to their senses and rebound, get back into fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit and the spiritual life. And then pray that they seek out a sound doctrinal teaching church. A sound doctrinal teaching church, and grow up spiritually in the grace, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if that pivot gets large enough, it will deliver our nation from the fifth cycle of national discipline. So in order for a client nation to survive today, like Client Nation USA, there must be a large enough pivot of spiritually mature believers. Now that brings us to point three, the unique promises to Israel. The unique promises to Israel. Subpoint one. The unconditional covenants to Israel makes Israel unique as a people. The unique promises to Israel, the unconditional covenants to Israel makes Israel unique as a people. Subpoint two, God has given four unconditional covenants to Israel. Unconditional means it totally depends on God, not on the Israelites. It totally depends on God. They're unconditional covenants. So God has given four unconditional covenants to Israel: the Abrahamic, Palestinian, Davidic, and New Covenants. Four unconditional covenants: Abrahamic covenant, Palestinian covenant, Davidic covenant, and the New Covenant. Three, all unconditional covenants have an eternal life clause. Eternal life clause. Based on the fact that Israel has a future, both in time and in eternity. All unconditional covenants have an eternal life clause. Based on the fact that Israel has a future, both in time and in eternity. So, subpoint four. The covenants to Israel can be defined as the sovereign disposition of God. The covenants to Israel can be defined as the sovereign disposition of God, whereby He establishes a declarative compact with Israel. whereby he establishes a declarative compact with Israel, obligating himself, the living and true God, in grace to bless Israel. Obligating himself in grace to bless Israel. So subpoint four. The covenants to Israel can be defined as the sovereign disposition of God, whereby he establishes a declarative compact with Israel, obligating himself in grace to bless Israel. All right, well, let's take a look at the four unconditional covenants. All right. So subpoint five, the Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant. And this covenant defines the race for client nation Israel. The Abrahamic covenant defines the race for client nation Israel. Abraham was born a Gentile. His physical birth, he was born an Akkadian. He was a Semite. He was born a Gentile by physical birth. He didn't become a Jew until he was 99 years old. In spiritual maturity, at his circumcision, Abraham became a Jew at age 99, and circumcision was the sign at his spiritual maturity. So turn over to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. We'll start at verse 1. Genesis 12, verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Genesis 12, 1 through 3, the Abrahamic covenant. That's not all the passages, but we're going to let you go out. Valerie brought humdinger food out there. You get to take a break and eat that good stuff, and then we'll come back in here for part 2.